You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as it's a Wednesday, it of course is Skulk Lowe, Portfolio Manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. Skulk, I'll talk about gold later. I know you get very excited when I talk about it with you.
No,
we'll do it later. Calm down.
Okay.
Let's talk about the SENS news on the JSC. EOH and Famous Brands, are either of any interest to you? Can you comment briefly on either of them?
No, I mean, I really can't comment on either because they're fairly small companies. Like both, I mean, we've chatted about both companies over the time. EOH been the darling, let's call it, of the 2000s, and then went from an absolute euro to an absolute zero. Since then they've had a change of guard, and it does seem like they've sort of had a bit of a 180, not making losses anymore. We can see there's some progress, and yeah, today I think the progress sort of paid off. Share price up 9%, and then Famous Brands, and this is a company that's been in specifically social media. I know there's quite a few commentators that's been talking about it, you know, talking Famous Brands up, saying that this is maybe something to have a look at. For listeners out there that don't know them, I mean, they've got, as the, you know, name implies, famous brands like, you know, Wimpy, Steers, Debonairs, those
like
types of
Steers
companies.
I really like Steers. I must admit, of those ones, Steers is the one that really stands out. A really good burger, Skulk.
Definitely, and as it's Wednesday today, I'm usually on a Wednesday. We'll just call it the Wacky Wednesday show today, because I think that's what they're known for. I mean, the results, 6 month results, not a lot of guidance, as mentioned. It's not a company that's really, really that well covered. But in general, I don't think it looked too bad. You know, headlines, earnings per share, it increased, you know, by 9.5%, up from R1.99 to R2.18. That looked good. Revenue up 2%. In an environment where interest rates is high, we tend to think this is a company that would be under pressure, and they didn't. Yes, the revenue didn't really grow. That is showing you the environment we're in. But the fact that they still managed to grow their earnings per share just shows that management really did a few things right in a wrong environment. And then lastly, the dividend per share also increased 9%. That's what we as a shareholders usually want to see. R1.38 last year. This year is going to be, you know, this time around, it's going to be R1.50. So in general, I thought not too bad. Not too bad results for both sides.
But not something that interests you. Not something that's going to move PSG Wealth radar at all. No. I mean, needle. No. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. In that case, I had a really interesting chat with a chap who had just been to the Denver Gold Forum, or whatever the name of it was. Anyway, it's an annual gold conference. Most of the commodity conferences cover everything, like the mining in Darba in Cape Town and the diggers and dealers in Australia. This one is purely gold. They're thinking of diversifying it to include other commodities, but for now it's just gold. And it was very interesting because he said last year he went and there were 1,500 delegates. This year, last year 1,500, this year only 900. And I thought, well, this is a bit odd. And he said there was a sort of note of caution. And I suppose when you see the gold price above 2,700, you think to yourself, maybe now is not the time to be in there. Maybe this is telling us something, that the price is now getting a little bit too frothy. And when you see a gold chart on CNN or CNBC or something, you think, wait a second, that's a little bit too much. What is your view now? Are you starting to get cautious yourself and putting in some protection, Skulk?
No, I'm not. Just remember, you know, some of my main drivers, you know, for including gold into my portfolio is still very much at play. You know, we're still sitting with a Dixie, or let's call it US dollar index, now higher than last week, you know, 104. So the dollar is still looking, you know, fairly strong, I would say. And then a lot of people say it's not your 114s, 118s. But I still believe that the dollar could be under pressure. I mean, if you look at, you know, lately the debt levels that's been released from the US, and a lot of people, you know, still now starting to ask the question, how will they be able to service this debt going forward, you know, in the future? And then a lot of this debt are now going to be rolling over. A lot of these world financial crisis debt that they back then created now going to roll over, and they will need to let's call it, what do you call it, re-debt, or they'll need to
refinance
these debt again, and they'll have to do it at much higher levels. I can go on. I just said the dollar, firstly. Secondly, I mean, I don't know what your feeling is regarding the geopolitical unrest, but I mean, I'm getting the feeling when I look at every exactly. It's just every day. It feels like it's small things, but it's sort of escalating. And again, gold would most probably be one of your best hedges against any further geopolitical escalation.
Do you know what? Something that really struck me yesterday is that, actually it was 2 days ago, it was first announced that North Korea has sent 12,000 of its military personnel to Russia to fight in the Ukraine war. And South Korea took exception to this and said, we are now going to send weapons to Ukraine. So now we've got North Korea against South Korea because of Russia versus Ukraine, as you quite rightly say. That was the actual trigger for me getting even more scared than I was before, Skulk. I don't like it. And with the US election coming up, as I said to you off air, I'm looking forward to Christmas, and you said, well, we've got to get through November 1st. And it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a tough one.
It's going to be a tough one. I don't want to call this the start of World War III, because I surely hope and believe it's that, you know, sanity will eventually prevail. But as we sit here, I mean, Israel, Iran, you know, that whole Palestine area, it's really, really very, very nervous around that area. As you just mentioned, more countries are getting involved now in the Ukraine-Russia war. Do I feel that gold is finished? No. Would I see it? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, a lot of people, you know, ask me this question. Say, well, we're sitting $2,700. I mean, at the beginning of the year, if you told me, you know, we're going to see $2,700, I said, I'll take it. I'll take it. But now, as I sit here, I don't see a massive retracement in gold. And by saying that, you're looking at these gold miners that is currently mining this gold at way lower levels. When we're talking, some of the international mines are mining at $1,600, $1,700 per ounce. So they're making a heap load of cash. And if you say this, let's call it geopolitical unrest, this economical worry, because we're still having a debate. Are we going to see a hard landing, soft landing? You know, while we're still talking about landings, I would just very much hold on to my gold. And you know, while the gold price is staying at these levels, the miners are definitely going to high-five each other.
Be very careful with the central bank situation, because the buyers of gold, and the reason that the gold price is 2,700 plus is because mainly of big, big buying from central banks. And in May, China said, we can't buy any more at these levels. So, and that was, what, 6 months ago? Is May 6 months ago? 4 or 5 months ago? Anyway, a few months ago. So be very careful that the central banks suddenly say, that's enough now, we've stocked up, we're not selling, but we're not buying anymore. And that could create a little bit of a sell-off should geopolitics and should US politics play ball. So that's all I would say. And if you were, and be honest now, if you were the head of the Treasury Department of a major gold mining company, and they said 2,700, we're producing at 1,600, you'd say, okay, let's put in 20, 30% hedge for the future, collar and cuff option strategy or something. You would do it. It would be imprudent of you not to, Skulk.
Yeah. Okay. So there's two answers to that.
Number one,
you would most probably, you know, over this, if you have that view and you say, well, I do think we're calling tops on current levels, you would most probably do that. But remember, Goldfields and Anglo Gold Fund, you know, in the top eight or top seven largest mines in the world, gold mines in the world. And both these companies over the past 2 months, what did they announce? They didn't announce that they're hedging their gold, which they won't announce, by the way, but no. they announced, you know, two of the largest transactions these companies made in many years, mergers. So when I look at Anglo Gold did, I think, a $1.5 billion deal, and Goldfields slightly less. But I mean, if you look at if they were skeptical on the gold price being at elevated levels, I can promise you they would not be doing, you know, these sizable mergers at current gold levels, unless they feel, wait a minute. Yeah, I don't think the gold price is coming back anytime soon. In actual fact, there's quite a few big investment houses that's calling to $3,000 now, $3,500. Oh,
well, my response to that is that the commodity companies are terrible investors. They buy at the top and they sell at the bottom. They buy when everything's going well. They buy when lithium is going well. They open a lithium mine and it collapses. And if there are mergers going on in the gold market, then to me, as a cynic, that's a red flag. But that's just me. I mean, it could go to $10,000 an ounce if something nasty happens. But $3,000 is perfectly reasonable. But you're staying in, Skulk. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely staying in. For listeners out there, you know, thinking I'm currently betting the farm, because I've been a verbal gold bull for many moons, actually for many years.
I haven't
always been one, just by the way. So I've sort of been one of late, but I did analysis many years ago, and I think we chatted about it, and I think it was done a report that I've done in 2020, 2021. We just show that if you take a, let's call it a 80% investment in the FTSE All Share,
yeah,
and a 20% position in gold. Over, let's call it, the past 15 years to that point, just by the way, I think now it would be much, much better. But to that point, which was around about 2021, over a 15-year period, which included the COVID scenario and also included the massive, massive world financial crisis crash in 2008, what it showed you, sorry, it was 20 years. Over that 20-year period, if you had an Aussie position and a 80% Aussie and a 20% gold, you would have yielded exactly the same return. Exactly.
Not bad.
But yeah, exactly. And a lot of people would say, "Well, but gold had a torrid time there in the early 2000s, and then again after 2012." But what was beautiful was, you know, that same, let's call it, return did, from a risk point of view, yield a much lower volatility, and also the drawdown. And for the listeners out there, every time we had a massive pullback, because you had this gold that sort of combat the pullback in the market, saw that you didn't lose the amount of capital over those big retracements. So I just love using it as an hedge. It's one of those extra, you know, pieces of ammunition you can put in your portfolio, and I use it.
Very good. You've made a convincing argument. Let's have a look at some markets now. Dollar rand 17.85, British pound against the rand 23.11, and the euro rand is 19.25. Euro dollar 107.85, which is a euro that's weaker by about a third of a percent. British pound 129.50. Gold price, which I think we may have mentioned already, 2,713, which is down $31, but, you know, it's got to take a breather occasionally. The platinum price is down a fiver to 1,028, and the palladium price also in four figures, 1,061, which is also down $13.50. But commodities were the precious metals anyway, doing rather well, thank you very much. What about other commodities? Let's have a look at crude oil. Brent crude is down 0.6% to $75.57. The West Texas variety, $71.28. Also around about 0.6% weaker. S&P 500 futures, 5,868, which is, no, 5,853 now, down 0.2%. So a little bit of nervousness coming in there, which is completely understandable. US 10-year Treasury bond yield, 4.25%. The South African 10-year hasn't had a great time recently, 9.64%. It was below 9% not so long ago. And what else have we got? Yeah, that's about it. What about the JSE today? Not looking so great, Scout. Let's go to, before we go to the indices, any shares that stood out for you?
No, it was just one of those days where we didn't have a lot of movements. I mean, you mentioned it. You know, gold retraced today. The gold price. So within the, let's call it losers column, you had your likes of your Harmonies and Pan African Resources, also some retracement in some of your gold. Where there was, I mean, gold fields were trading, I think 1% up on one stage this morning, and eventually ended down quite a bit. The one that stood out for me, and that's not only today, but of late, is Sasol. I mean, it's just every time you think Sasol can't go any lower,
down it goes.
There we go. It's like, how low can you go? And like, it seems like it's going to be Sasol low. And you know, one of my colleagues made the comment this morning, and also yesterday, he said, I mean, we're now slowly approaching the levels that we've seen, the stress levels that we've seen in COVID. Now, I know a lot of listeners will jump at me and say, well, we saw 30 Rand levels, you know, back then. But that was, I mean, sort of very, very, that was the worst case scenario. I mean, the oil tankers were sitting all over the world.
Yeah, that was an anomaly. It was a moment in time. Yeah,
exactly.
But if you take that out, if you take out the top 10% and the bottom 10% and average the Sasol price out, you're quite right. We are approaching lows here. And yeah, it's 104. It's threatening to go from three figures to two figures, which I'll come to in a moment. But yeah.
But now I'm asking you, and this is what this colleague of mine said. He asked the question. He said, "When? I mean, we're talking about a company that's now valued most probably under $4 billion. You know, when are we going to see one of these big oil companies, the likes of the Shells, the BPs, those companies come out and say, well, we can pay this with the cash on hand. I mean, we can go out
Aramco.
And buy
Sasol.
Yeah, easy. There we go. So, I mean, listeners out there that's currently, so firstly, I'm holding Sasol. So, again, one of those not betting the farm moments.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely one of those companies where it's not a nice company to have in your portfolio when every day you open your portfolio and you see, well, today Sasol is down 3.88%. Yesterday it was down 6% or 7%. But just note that somewhere along the line, this company is going to attract the interest of large international oil players, and that could be really, really interesting. So
assets that they desire, but I don't know if they have. I mean, look what they've done. They've been disastrous at the boardroom level, and hopefully no one's from the board is listening, but they really have mismanaged, in my opinion. But then what do I know? I'm just looking at the top five today, and it's Karoo, and it's Bytes, and it's Sirius, and it's Redefine. The more interesting is the downside. African Rainbow Minerals down 4%, Harmony down nearly 4%, Sasol down nearly 4%, Anglo American Platinum 3.2% weaker, and 91 down 2.5%. Very much skewed to the bigger companies going down, Skulk.
Yeah. No, it's a big day, and it's also very interesting when you look at the amount of winners and losers. When there's this you know few losers than winners, then it's also a bit worrying. But as I mentioned, one of those days we're seeing some nervousness not only in South Africa, but we're seeing it currently in the West. We're seeing it in the US, and this is the time of the year where you usually find nervousness. There's a reason why they they call it every year the October ghost. And now we now ending the latter part of October. And as you rightfully mentioned earlier, we need to get through November now.
Yeah, we really do. Skulk, you and I will always get through any testing month. We know that because we know there's light at the end of the tunnel, no matter how dark it seems on whatever day, week or month it is. Skulk, just give us the closing JSE indices and the value traded, please.
So at the JSE closed today at, let's grab that, 86,464 points, it's down 33 basis points. The JSE top 40 down 29 basis points. The only sector being in the green. Oh, wait a minute. We've got two sectors in the green. I mean, I saw one of the biggest
property
winners today. Yeah, exactly. Redefine. I mean, you and I have been chatting about property. It's just property just do not. We had a little bit of a retracement after some of these property counters knocked off the interest / dividends. Yeah, lately they've been looking quite attractive again. So property sector today, 70 basis points up. Industrials up 17 basis points. And resources, as you mentioned, a horrible day. 1.6% down, while the financials were down only 1.1% or 0.1%. When we look at the value trade for today, just shy of 20 billion, 19.8 value traded for today. So, in general, it's just one of those days where we've seen the market take a bit of a breather. Yeah, I think just to end off, I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, we'll have good days and we've got bad days, but I'd still believe that South Africa, as we sit here, now the 23rd of October, still no load shedding, still, you know, few things going in the right direction. Maybe just not a bad idea to look at some of these weaknesses, in terms of, you know, what you've got invested locally and what you do have invested offshore.
Ever the optimist. And this time, which hasn't been the case always during our conversation, this time I think entirely justified. Skulk, thank you very much for your time as always. Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.